Let's open our Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And then we'll open them to Colossians, chapter 1, and talk about the good things of God. I need to ask you something this morning. They had a terrible argument going on in the New Testament times. It's amazing. Within the lifetime of the apostles, a terrible argument rose up in the church. The whole argument was about, well, who was Jesus? And some people said, well, he's a man. And other people said, well, he's God. And other people said, well, he's a part of God. And some people called the Gnostics said, well, he's an emanation from God, that God is spirit and he's holy and the physical part of life is evil and temporary. So it started out from God and emanations came out and came out and came out and came out. And yeah, there was some God in Jesus, but just it took all of this between them through centuries, through millennia to get down to Bethlehem. And the arguments finally came into focus in the Council of Nicaea. The church fathers just had to get together and say, well, what do we believe? It's not that they wanted to make a creed or wanted to have to make a statement. You know, sometimes we say no creed but Christ, no word but the Bible, and that sounds good, but the truth is we look at the Bible and all of these same people were looking at the Bible. The same Bible you're looking at. And you go around the world today and people are looking at the Bible. Everybody's looking more or less at the same Bible. And yet they come up with this whole thing of who is Jesus Christ? And if I wanted to find God, how would I find him? And where would I go to find God? And how would I go about finding God? Well, people have all kinds of ideas about how to find God. Well, I need to pray a whole lot. I need to fast a whole lot. I need to read a whole lot. I need to study a whole lot. All kinds of things. I need to go to church a whole lot. And actually, there are people that do all of those things and never really get close to God. You say, well, how could that be? Well, because it's their prayers and their reading and they're going to church and their religious activities, but it isn't a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So when we look at this, we say, where could we find God? If we wanted to go somewhere on earth that we could find God, where would we find him? And you say, in a barn? In a manger? Well, I think so. You know, at the time something's going on, it's not near as easy to define it as it is when you get past it and look back at it. How many of you ever look back at situations in your life and you have a different perspective of it, looking back at it, than you did while you were going through with it? Because you're going through with it, you're enduring whatever's going on, it's pulling at you from every side, you don't really understand all the things that's happening, but once all of the happenings get past and you look back at it, then you can put it in perspective and understand it. I want to read from two witnesses this morning about who Jesus Christ was and is. First person that's a witness is John, the apostle. And the second person that's a witness is Paul, the apostle. Now, they're worlds apart. John, the apostle, is a cousin of Jesus Christ. His mother and Mary were sisters, and he was raised to know Christ. He's the youngest of the apostles, by the way, and he grew up with him. He knew him as a boy. He knew him as a man, and he traveled with him. There wasn't anything about Jesus on this earth that John didn't know about. He knew about the circumstances of his birth. He probably played with him and went skinny dipping in the creek. And I know some of you are going to say, oh, I don't believe Jesus said that. Well, I believe Jesus was a regular boy. I believe he's a man. And the Bible teaches us that. And John grew up with Jesus. He went to synagogue with him. He learned what the lessons at synagogue with him, all kinds of things. And as a grown man, they traveled continuously for over 3 years together. He knew him as a human man would know another human man and be a friend and a relative to him. Now, Paul, on the other hand, comes along years later. And he didn't travel with Christ. We don't know if Paul ever saw Christ in the flesh or not. It's doubtful. I think he would have mentioned it if he had. And many years later, he met Christ, not so many years after the resurrection, by the way. He met Christ on the road to Damascus. He spent years searching with God and studying and thinking and meditating with God out in the deserts of Arabia. And if you read through the scriptures, you find that God appeared to him and revealed to him the great truths of the gospel. And a good portion of the truths that he wrote down are actually written down older than the gospels themselves. But anyway, John wrote about who Jesus was with all of that background of knowing him so intimately. He wrote about him years later in the Gospel of John. And Paul, in retrospect, writing to the church at Colossae in Asia Minor, wrote about who Jesus was. The baby in the manger. Who really was he? Who was this person that walked around healing and doing good and all the wonderful things that he did? Let's listen to the voice of the witnesses from John. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Verse 9. "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Praise God for the witness of the Apostle John as he looks back in retrospect and writes about, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who this Jesus was that was born in Bethlehem. Now listen to the perspective of the foremost theologian of the first century, the Apostle Paul, and maybe of all time for that matter. And he's talking about the dear Son of God. This is the subject matter in verse 13. And in verse 15, he starts talking about him. And he said, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." And then listen as Paul elaborates on what he means by all the fullness in chapter 2 and verse 9. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of his precious word." I don't know what the perspective of the shepherds was when they came to Christ. They knew from the angels that he certainly was the Savior of the world. I don't know when they knelt in the stable if they knew who they were looking at in the manger or not. The wise men that came from the east and traveled hundreds of miles and knelt in a house that they had moved in Bethlehem, I don't know for sure that they knew who they were looking at. They just knew this was the one that God had promised would come. But if you listen to the two scriptures that I just read to you, the first thing has to become apparent, that the road to Bethlehem did not start in Nazareth. It was not a 70 or 80 mile trip. The road to Bethlehem started in eternity past. Somebody has asked, well, what did God do before he made the earth and before he made man? Well, God was creating angels, we know that. He was creating universes and worlds, and he created the earth, I'm convinced, long before he made it for man, and then recreated the earth for man's habitation. But somewhere in eternity past, God had a plan. Now, he didn't share it with everybody. One thing about God, he's not like us. He don't tell everything he knows. Some of us cannot be trusted with any knowledge at all, because it immediately is public the minute that we know it. But God has plans, and he doesn't tell all of his plans. I notice sometimes that we have dreams and plans and aspirations, and we share them before they can become fruitful. And when they don't become fruitful, then we got egg on our face. Well, God doesn't have that worry. When he plans something and does it, God can make it happen. After all, he's God. But somewhere in eternity past, God saw the universe that we live in today. He was aware in his mind of human beings, who they would be and what they would be. He planned when man failed, and he knew he would make man weaker and less strong than the angels. But he knew that he would make for him a plan of salvation. You see, in the book of the Revelation, when John is carried into heaven and he sees all of the glories of God around the throne of heaven, one of the things he sees in the midst is the Lamb slain. Since when? Before the foundation of the world. When you listen to these scriptures that I just read to you, you can only come to one conclusion, that Jesus Christ is eternal. He did not start in Nazareth when Mary conceived, and he did not start in Bethlehem when Mary gave birth, but Jesus Christ started in eternity past. In fact is, I think what I just said was inaccurate. He did not start. He is eternal. Jesus Christ has always filled the eternity past, fills the present that's now, and will eternally fill the future that's out there in eternity. Jesus Christ is not defined by days, months, years, and weeks. He's not defined by centuries or millennia. Jesus Christ is defined by eternity. He was there before anything else was there. In fact, if you pay attention to the scripture, you recognize that he is saying, before anything else was created, he was. And he startled the people of the New Testament times when they asked him about his father Abraham, their father Abraham. He said, before Abraham was, I am. That's not I was, but I am. And he existed eternally. Now, if you also listen to the scriptures, you have to realize that exactly what Jesus said to Philip was true. Jesus told Philip when he said, look, you're talk about the Father all the time and we've never seen him. If you would show us the Father, then we could believe in the Father. And Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And Philip, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Can you believe that the shepherds knelt in front of a manger and looked into the face of God when they looked into a little baby's face? Can you believe that when they saw that little baby laying in swaddling clothes, They saw those little hands. They saw the hands of God. And when they saw those little feet kicked clean of the swaddling clothes, they saw the feet of God. Can you believe that when they looked into that cradle that was just a cow feeding trough, they saw God? He is the image. You say, but he's a little baby. Yes, but he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus said, God is a spirit. Now, actually, no one has seen God. We've heard descriptions of him. I talked about it a while back. He has hair, he has eyes, he has mouth, he has hands, he has feet, he has a backside. We've heard descriptions of God that make him like us. And of course, we're built in the image of God. But the truth is, my friend, when the wise men looked at that baby on Mary's lap, when the shepherds looked at that baby in the manger, they looked into the face of God. Now, more startling than that is the fact that here is a little creature, a product of humanity. He has a heavenly father, but he has an earthly mother who's just as physical as my mother or your mother. An earthly mother who got all of her gene pool from all the people back through the years from Adam down to where they are. And you know what it says? All things were made by him. That's what John said. John's talking about his cousin. He's talking about this fellow that he grew up with. In looking back at the Lord Jesus Christ, John talks about him and said, he created everything. Without him, there was not anything made that was made. Paul says all things were created by him and for him. So we look at him. Mary, did you know that your baby boy was the creator of all things? Mary, did you know that your baby boy was the one day that put the stars in place and the moon and the sun? Mary, did you know that your baby boy was the one that traced out the rivers and the mountains and the oceans and commanded light to shine out of darkness? That's what he's saying. He is the creator and nothing was made without him. Not just things. He says all things were made by him. That's the physical creation. But then he goes on to talk about Jesus and he says he created not only things, but he created spirits and powers and principalities and thrones. He created the angelic forces that fill the universe. If you could see how many angelic beings are surrounding us, you would be surprised how full the air is, not only of angelic beings who are good, but of evil spirits who have rebelled against God and are confined to this earth and can't escape. All of these things, including the devil. And I have to tell you, it's taught in some places that Jesus Christ and the devil are brothers. I can tell you Jesus Christ created Lucifer as the brightness of the morning and the great angel, angelic being that he was, who rebelled against God and who is condemned ultimately to the fires of hell and the lake of fire itself. Jesus Christ, my friend, is the creator. That little baby that was laying there, well, not the little baby, but the God that was manifest in him is the creator of the universe. In fact, it says, before all things he was, and by him all things consist. If it wasn't for God today, it would fall apart. You say, what keeps the earth in orbit? What keeps the sun burning? What keeps the galaxies moving in the rotation that they're moving in, and the whole universe moving in some direction that we don't know where it's going? What keeps all of this going? What makes all of the little nuclei and things in cells and atoms work? What makes all of the components of life work? All things consist by him. He is the one who's there. In fact, he goes on to say that he's number one. He's not just head of the church, but he is the firstborn from the dead. He is the only begotten Son of the living God. There is no other. none. He's number one. He has all the power in heaven and in earth. And you know what? All of God that there is found in Jesus Christ. You say, well, you can't say that. Well, sure I can say that. All of God that there is found in Jesus Christ. In him is what? In him bodily. I mean, in his body, the little baby in the manger. In him bodily dwells what? All the fullness of the Godhead. You say, well, what about God the Father? It all dwells in him too. You say, what about the Holy Spirit? It all dwells in him too. And they're all hymns. Don't start that her stuff with me. They're all hymns. God the Father is a hymn. God the Son is a hymn. God the Holy Spirit is a hymn. He's not it either. Never speaks of the Spirit as an it. And some of the modernists want to speak of God being a woman. God is not a woman. God is a him. Jesus Christ is a him. And the Holy Spirit is a him. Not an it, but a him. They are all male. And these three are one God. And it's all manifested. You say, well, just part of God was manifested in Jesus. No. You couldn't divide God. All of God is manifested in Christ. And when the Holy Spirit comes, think about this, and comes to live in you, all of God is in the Holy Spirit. And all of God is God the Father in heaven also. You say, boy, I don't understand that. I don't think the Apostle Paul did either, but he believed it. He said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh. God came to be a human being. His name shall be called what? Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. He is God come to be. It's called the incarnation. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was what? Made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word did not come into the flesh. I hear some people want to express this like, well, here I am and I'm a vase and God's in me. No. When you looked at the flesh of Jesus Christ laying in the manger, that's God combined with human beings. God laid everything on the line for old Eddie Kendall. God looked down through the ages and saw that I was lost and undone without God, and had no way to save myself, could not save myself, was ultimately and totally depraved. And you know what he did? He came down to earth and became one of us. He became our sacrifice. He became our propitiation, to use a nice biblical theological word. And you say, this human baby is God. This human baby is divine. And you know what? The devil don't mind and the world don't mind if you put up your tinsel and hang your Christmas balls and put up your evergreen and dance around the cradle. He doesn't mind if you just say, oh, this is a blessed baby with a sweet little Lord Jesus. But I tell you, he doesn't want you to know that he is God come to save the world. And he is come to save the world. He is not one of many. Some people teach that God has many begotten sons and that Christ is only one of many. The truth is, my friend, Christ is the only, and the Bible goes to great lengths to say that he is the only begotten son of the Father. And then you know what Paul ends all of this by saying? If Jesus Christ is the Almighty God, if Jesus Christ is the one who came from glory to save depraved human beings, then he can say the next phrase that he says. And we, let's say it, we, that's us, come on, we are what? Complete in him. We don't need anything else. Jesus is all you need. You don't have to worry about any other sacrifice. You don't have to worry about your works. You don't have to worry about your past. You don't have to worry about anything. You just have to know Jesus. We are complete in him. All that I need to go to heaven is in Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, if you don't get anything out of Christmas except this, I want you to get it. You see, I'm glad that you have a Christmas tree. Martin Luther liked Christmas trees. He was dangerous with them. He lit candles and stuck it on them. God bless him, he didn't burn the house down. Maybe that's why they built castles out of stone or something. I don't know. I'm glad you can have a Christmas tree. I'm glad you can have a wreath on your door. I'm glad if you have some money, you can go buy a present for someone you love, and or maybe someone you don't even know. That would be even better. I'm glad that you can enjoy your ham, your turkey, your oysters, your fish, whatever it is you eat. I'm glad you can make cakes and sweets and do all of that and send your day of grace away as a glutton. I'm glad you can enjoy all of that. I'm glad your family can join together and rejoice and enjoy all of the blessings of God. But if you go through all of this and you miss the fact that the baby in the manger was God, you miss the story. God did a marvelous thing, that he was incarnate in human flesh. Bless his precious and eternal and holy name. No wonder there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, but through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father God, in the mighty and the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we come into your presence. And Lord, we come with thankful hearts. Lord, that our redemption has drawn nigh. Lord, we thank you that the Spirit of God has moved, not only on the face of the waters, but the Spirit of God has moved for us to redeem us and to save us. The Spirit of God has come to the Virgin Mary. The Spirit of God has come to our hearts. And Lord, you have come to save us from our sins. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for this season. Lord, I don't know when you were born. If it had been important, you would have told us. But Lord, I thank you that you were born. I thank you that you did come in the world. And with Christians everywhere, we celebrate, not December the 25th, but we celebrate the fact that you did come into the world and you did redeem us from sin. Holy Father, thy blessings upon this congregation and upon these people as they celebrate this week, we ask, bless those who are traveling, that they will be safe, and those who have loved ones who are coming in, that they will be safe. And Father, help us to recognize the preciousness of each and every day. Help us to recognize the preciousness of the moments that we spend together. Holy Father, forgive us wherein we have plunged ahead without giving credit to God. And bless us in thine own way, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, the baby in the manger, the Christ on Calvary, the glorious resurrected Son of God in heaven. And to him we say amen and praise and glory forever. Hallelujah. As we sing the closing hymn, would you stand? If you need prayer, we'd certainly be glad to pray with you. But sing it with us. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shine on. And don't forget, folks, we have church tonight. Come out and worship with us. Amen. Let's sing it. Beautiful Star. Thank you for coming this morning. I pray that you go home with the message burning in your heart, that you realize that that little baby in the manger was more than a man, that he was the living God come down to earth. And I pray as you look at him and you realize what a contradiction it was for God and man to be one. That's why it's called atonement, A-T-O-N-E, atonement. And they became one that day in Mary's womb and that day in Bethlehem. And that was just for one reason, that there would be a sacrifice that could save your soul. Hallelujah. Have a great Christmas this week, folks. Have a blessed time. Most of all, know the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the blessings of God. We thank you for the grace of God. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Pray that your Holy Spirit, God, will be with us and keep us, sanctify us, and bless this week. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.